for 2416. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. For a just man falleth seven times. Now, skip down just for a minute in the verse. Look what it says near the end. The wicked shall fall into mischief. The difference in the just man and the wicked man is every time the just man fell, he rose up again. Amen? The just man and the wicked man alike fail. Man, in his very best estate, is altogether vanity. But the difference is the just man rose up. How many times? One time? Per fall. Amen. The Heavenly Father, help us today. In your name we pray. Amen. I was thinking, you can have a seat. I was thinking in our Sunday school lesson, I was thinking about the immediately, the ship being there immediately, and about the rocket launching, and none of us have ever just launched somewhere. I was thinking about my childhood, and I'm not exactly going to say that I was ever launched anywhere, but I have been propelled through the air without the use of a spaceship. See, to help you understand that, I've got to do something here I got to cross, divide family lines here, and I got to bring my brother into this thing, and my past. And so just for a minute, let me sit on the couch, and you be the psychiatrist, and let me sit on the couch and tell you about my difficult upbringing. But as a little boy, there was a show that, of course, all little boys like Superman. I'll tell you real quick, I wanted to be Superman. One day, we had the Christian school I attended, we had a award ceremony at the end of the year for everybody in the school. It was a single room school and a single room schoolhouse, and we all come get our rewards, and I wanted to be Superman, and he was my hero then. And my brother asked me, do you want to be Superman? You want to look like him? I said, well, sure I do. And so he took nearly a whole pint of Vaseline and smeared it in my hair and gave him a little loop here, and I went to the award ceremony looking like Superman. It was probably months later before all the Vaseline was out of my hair. But sometime after that, there came about on the television show that there was a show called Ralph, the Greatest American Hero. Any of you ever heard of that show before? Well, this was a fellow that I don't have to go into all of it, but he inherited from outer space or something this special suit that could make him fly, but he couldn't fly very good. It took him a long time to learn how to fly. He'd fly into buildings, fly into airplanes. I mean, he just couldn't get a knack of it, but he too was my hero, and I wanted to be like him. I wanted to fly, and so my brother asked me one day, would you like to fly? Well, I said, well, sure. He's 10 years older than me, so I'm going to say I was about 6, and he was about 16 or so, and somewhere like that, maybe 5 and 15, whatever. And he said, well, I can help you fly. I wasn't a very big fella, little guy. So he got me, and he picked me up like this, and one hand here on my chest, one hand on my rear end, and just threw me through the air. And me not being very bright, I said, do it again, Bubby, do it again. And, of course, he was glad to do it again. He enjoyed doing it again. And then again, I had to tell you about falling also. What goes up must come down. But I'm pretty agile about not falling. Again, my brother had a big part in helping me with that. He enjoyed watching me trip when I was little. So I'd walk along and he'd grab me and push me and trip me over at the same time. And I learned that tripping and falling is not very fun. So I've always tried to be pretty sure on my feet. So I thank God for the great lessons in life my brother taught me and helped me along the way. But one thing about falling is, if you're going to fall, you got to get up. You hear me this morning, church? If you don't fall, you got to get up. I want to preach to you so you're falling. So you're falling. You know, we all fail. I was talking to a young man, just probably nine years old, soon be 10. I was talking to him this week, and he and I were talking about some weakness in his life, something in his life he's trying to improve on, something he's trying to get better at. And boy, he was pretty frustrated. He was even had tears in his eyes, and he told me, he said, I keep failing at it. He said, I'm trying to do better, he said, but I keep failing. He said, I just keep doing it, and I know I don't want to do it, and he was feeling bad, and he was heartbroken, and he said, I just keep failing, and I just want to say to that young man, like I said to him then, I said, you just keep on trying. You just keep on trying. You just keep on asking God. God's able to help you, and God can help you. And I said to that young person, I said, I've had plenty of failures in my own life before where I've had to just keep on asking God to just keep on helping me. Anybody that tells you that God's mercy is short and not available, there's only a limited supply of God's grace and mercy, boy, they don't know the same God I know. They don't understand. Listen, they don't understand God. Amen? That number 7 there talks about completeness, and there's perfect mercy and completeness in God. Amen? I mean, He's able to lift you up when you fall. The Bible says the just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. I put down on that verse, 7 down, 7 up. Amen? 7 times down. What, you say, boy, that's miserable. 7 times down? Oh, no, wait a minute. That's not the end of it. 7 times up. Listen, if you go down 7 times and you get up 7 times, and if I'm not real smart, but that means this, before you get down, you got to be up. So you start it up and you go down. But listen, when it comes down to that 7th time, the 7th time down, well, listen, you've been down 7 times, you get up 7 times, that means you're standing up, amen? Brother, you hear that? Listen, it didn't say 8 down, 8 up, but if it had been 8 down, 8 up, you might have ended up down, but you ended up on an odd number, 7 up, amen? I'm glad for that this morning. Listen, be encouraged this morning that, listen, for every time this just man fell, God was able to pick him up again, amen? I think of another verse in the Bible. I don't have you turn to it, but listen, you can write down Micah chapter 7. I won't have you turn to it because I want to let you go home sometime today, and I don't want to wait on you to find it. Micah chapter 7, verse 8. Listen carefully what it says. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. Not if I fall. I'm reading the King James Bible here. It says, when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Amen? Amen. Brother, listen, verse number 9 says, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold his righteousness. Amen? Verse number 10 says, then she that is my enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her, which said unto me, where is the Lord thy God? Isn't it something how the devil works? Amen? But listen, hey, I want you to understand this, that the reason why people fall is because we have a very formidable foe. Don't think for one moment that there's anything like to the contest that you and I are in as Christians, that you and I are in as the creation of the Almighty God. I believe that when God created man, we're the apple of his eye. And I believe that when the old devil wanted to hurt God, and by the way, the devil does want to hurt God. I believe that when the devil sought to hurt God, I believe that it was no difficult decision for the devil to set his sights on man and say, that right there is what I'm after. But listen, he didn't come after the trees. He didn't come after the alligators, the crocodiles, and the elephants. He set his sight on man, and he said, I'm going to take man down. He said, because God has said that someday that man will rule over the angels, and God has set a mark on man, and Satan said, I'm going to take him down. But listen, hey, and the devil walks about as a roaring lion, the Bible said. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But listen, hey, and he's no respecter of persons, understand that. Nor is he a respecter of age groups, amen. And there's some young people up here, some girls back there, that
need to listen to me right now. There's some boys right up here that are doing a pretty good job of listening to me. Hey, the devil would like to destroy them. I want to testify just real quick and real simple that God saved me whenever I was 7. And the devil didn't wait until I was 17 to begin to attack my mind. He didn't wait until I was 27 to begin to attack my mind. But soon after God saved me, brother, the devil began to attack my mind. And he tried to destroy my mind. As a little boy, he tried to destroy me. So don't sit around and stand around and just act as if there's no devil. I can testify. I know he's real. And I know that he'll try to destroy your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit. He'll try to destroy you. But thank God, greater is he that's in us than he is in the world. Amen. He is a formidable foe. They talk about in the Old Testament, there's a nation that took down other nations. Boy, they were a mighty nation. The Bible says of that nation, says of a truth, they have destroyed many nations. They had set their sights on the little old nation of Israel. And it was no big deal to them. But why? Because they were a mighty nation. They had defeated Egypt. They had defeated Syria. They had defeated other nations. So it was no big deal to defeat Egypt, Israel. However, they didn't realize what a God they had, what a God Israel had. Amen? The Bible says that when they set their sights on Israel and they were going to destroy the little nation of Israel, the Bible says that one of the most interesting verses in the Bible, I like to know how this works, but it says they all woke up dead. Now you tell me how, some of you every Sunday you wake up dead, don't you? But I'm not talking about that kind of waking up dead. The Bible says the whole camp woke up dead. Why? Hey, because God is able to deliver his people. But understand this, of a truth, the devil has destroyed many lives. Well, listen, this just lets you wonder about how the devil works. I'm going to tell you just real quick. Hey, the devil uses the sin of drunkenness to destroy lives. I want you to understand this, boys and girls and church folks in here, that by this line of social drinking's okay. You can have a drink every once in a while. You go ahead and sip me a little a wine cocktail here every once in a while. Some alcohol, a little bit of booze, it won't hurt you. The Bible says wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Friend, listen. Hey, mark it down, boys and girls. Stay away from beer and drugs and alcohol and all the rest of that stuff. Hey, don't touch it. Somebody comes along, throw it away. Don't mess with that kind of stuff. Why? Because that's one of the tools the devil uses to destroy your life. But you got to watch out on the internet. You got to watch out in the magazine rack. You got to watch out. Our society today is filled up with pornography and all of that type of stuff. That stuff gets in your mind, friend. It'll mess with your mind. It'll change your thinking. It's hard to walk with God when your mind is filled with bad images and things you shouldn't see, friend. And the devil will try to destroy your mind with that kind of stuff as soon as he can. Amen. Somehow, some way, pride and prejudice. You say, preacher, I've never done any of that. You better watch it because you're still walking. You're still breathing. The devil still wants to destroy you. And he'll use his number one tool to wipe you out. And that's the tool of pride. So I ain't like him. I never have done that. You better watch. Amen. We ought to walk humbly with our God from the cradle to the grave. Amen. Let's not be boasting about what we have or haven't done. But listen, the devil's real. He's a formidable foe. Say, preacher, why in the world do people fall? Because it's in our nature. You got that? It is in our nature. The flesh is weak. Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. The man whom God chose, whom God used, boy, said, quit playing footsies there. Hey, the man whom God chose to be the pastor of the first of the early New Testament church was a man named Simon Peter. You say, well, God chose him because he had attained victory over the flesh.
Yeah, right.
God chose Peter because he, listen, hey, the Bible said about Peter, one time Jesus called him the devil. I mean, he said, get behind me, Satan. One time he told him, he said, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. You check that verse out and see what it means. And it means this right here. It means that Satan has asked for you. It means that Satan has said to God, God, I'd like to have him. And understand this about Satan. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't look for the strong. He looks for the weak. And he said, I see weakness in Simon Peter. He said, I see a weakness. He said, Lord, take the heads down. Let me have him. Oh, when God told Satan to go after Job, Job said, what's the use? You don't think he's a hunter. He said, you've set a hedge about
about him. He said, there's no bother. He said, I'll take it down and you go see what you can do with it. You understand that? That's real. I'm not making that up. I'm preaching scripture to you this morning. You see, Satan studies it. He wants to destroy people. You might hear somebody stand up in church and testify and praise the Lord, and you might think, man, that person's solid. They're steadfast. They're sure. But you understand this. Hey, the devil sets a mark on a person. He knows their weakness. And right. They might be flying high one day, and they might be crawling on the ground the next day. But thank God, God still loves that person. Amen. And we ought to exercise the love of God toward those people also. Amen. You see why? Because we're all come from we have a fallen nature. I used to, in church, I would hear testimonies and someone would say, I'll never fall. Don't worry about me. I'll never mess up, Jeremy. I'll never blow it. I'll never mess up. No sooner than the car would start and we would make the first turn on the way home from church, my dad would say, by the grace of God. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, by the grace of God. I went off to Bible college and I was there in the first, we sat down in the room. The room was full the first night we were there to have our devotions. By Thanksgiving, the room was nearly empty. The supervisor stood up and said, boy, you fellas ought to be glad. Look around. A lot of people have left. He said, you ought to be, and I don't know that he used the word proud. He said, but you ought to be glad. He said, you're still here. You want to guess what I heard in the back of my head? By the grace of God, you're still here. By the grace of God, you're still here. By the grace of God, I'm here. Amen? Because I have a nature, a flesh nature that's weak, and yours is weak. And this, as soon as you think it's not weak, you better watch out, because that's when the devil's going to come with his bow and arrow and stick a dart through your heart. Brother, listen. Understand this, that the Bible says that God made the creature subject to vanity. Do you hear that? He made us subject to vanity. We're born that way, amen? We're born with a weak flesh. We're born with a sin nature. So the Bible says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I want to talk to you just for a minute about something else. We sing a song here in the song book, and it's on page number one, or song number 173. And it goes like this. The song says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling, in his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Souls in danger look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. And the chorus says, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, friend, love lifted me. I want you to understand this about fallen people, about a fallen nature. I want you to understand the magnificence of God's mercy. Listen, don't leave here this morning without understanding and getting a little bit of an idea about the magnificence of God's mercy. As a little fellow one time, Jeremy, can you come in just for a minute? As a fellow one time, he's about the size of Jeremy right here. This little boy was up. He had no family, no home, and he had been sentenced pretty much, his mom, dad, man, and listen, he lived on the streets and nobody really cared about him. Boy, he got mean. He had to get tough to survive. I mean, he thought he was tough. And along with getting tough, he learned a lot of words he shouldn't use. And boy, he thought he was tough. You know, a lot of people, they had to overlook him because he sure was a lot of a headache to a lot of people. And you had to watch him. One day, there was a great big old football player come walking through the alley where he was. And that little boy jumped out and he said, who do you think you are? I mean, the guy is 6'3", 295 pounds. And this guy right here is down there pointing at him, started calling his name, hollering at him, carrying on. Said, don't you ever come through here again. This is my alley. Don't you walk this way. You come through here again, I'm going to squash you. And I mean, the guy's up here, you know.
And he looked at him and he said, "Sonny, go on, sit down."
So I don't have to, not yet.
He said, "Go on, sit down." He went on. Well, that same fellow was a little bit early because he had taken the shortcut, and on his way to football practice, he stumped. There's a great big field, and there was a stump-like thing out there, and people would stand on that stump and give talks and lectures and speeches, and anybody could get up there and talk. Well, this day, there's a big crowd gathered around, and there was this fellow there, and he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. You know what an atheist is? That's somebody don't got no brains rolling around. They're crazy. They don't believe in God. Well, this atheist up there on the stump, and he's shaking his finger, and he's pointing his finger to heaven. He said, "There's no God." He said, "There's a God, let him strike me dead right now." And he's saying bad things, and the people are going, "Oh," and they're all waiting. He said, "I give God 5 minutes. 5 minutes, God, if you're really real. You do something, you knock me off this stump in 5 minutes." He just kept hollering. He said, "You got 1 minute, God." And here come that football player. He heard that, the big old guy. He heard him up there. And he ran up to that fella, and I like the story best when he knocked him over, but it ain't the one right here. He ran up there to that fella, and he looked at him, and he said, "Mister," he said, "I could knock you off that stump, wouldn't mean a thing in the world." He said, "But not only that," he said, "so could God." He said, "I come along here," he said, "little alley," he said, "this little fella about that tall," he said, "threatened me, called me all kinds of names." He said, "You think I'd be any more of a man right now if I'd have squashed that little fella?" He said, "No, wouldn't have made a bit of difference. Thank you, Jeremy." He said, "Listen," he said, "you stand up there." He said, "God's got nothing to prove by hurting you." He said, "God feels sorry for you." He said, "God gave his only begotten son to die for you." He said, "God loves you." He said, "God would save you if you wasn't so foolish." He said, "As to stand up there and defy God," he said, "God's not going to respond to you." He said, "You're nothing but a little flea trying to get God to come down and squash you." He said, "You just people going about your way." And then he went ahead and knocked him off the stump and said, "Go on home, this guy's crazy." I want you to understand this. Magnificence of his mercy. God's merciful. Well, I tell you what, listen, there were times that I would reckon that my dad could have laid it on me. I mean, he could have just squashed me like a bug. There's a few times that he did whip me, amen. I mean, he could have squeezed the fire out of me, but he never did, because he had mercy on me. I mean, them whippings, they all ended, amen. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 41:10 says, "But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up, that I may requite them." Verse 11 says, "By this I know that thou favorest me, because my enemy doth not triumph over me." Verse 12 says, "And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity. Thou settest me before thy face forever." Psalm 109 verse 1 says, "Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise." Verse 2, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compass me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself into prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and let his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg, and let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch, and all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their names be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mothers be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth, because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart." But listen, if there's anybody that God's wrath is stirred against, it's against those people that fail to show mercy to those that are in need of mercy. Amen? Understand this in the church. It's very important that we get this down. That listen, we're weak. And we're fallen creatures, And there may be amongst us fallen creatures. And if you look in the mirror, you'll probably see one right there, amen, that's got a fallen, sin-cursed nature. And we need to be careful about this and understand that the heart of God is moved by the misery. The mercy of God is moved at the misery of His creatures. When He sees one of His children fallen, it touches the heart of God. And God wants to extend mercy. But God is in heaven. And God wants to find someone through whom He can extend mercy. And God wants us to be agents of His mercy. Amen. It's important that we understand how powerful mercy is. You see, mercy is looking down and coming down to pick up that which cannot pick up itself. The Bible says that Jesus condescended to men of low estate. You see, we're all fallen creatures. We're a fallen creation. You ever heard of Adam and Eve and the fall in the Garden of Eden? But God became flesh and dwelt among us. And He took upon Himself the form of a man. And Jesus Christ went to Calvary. And He bled and He died on Calvary. And He was buried and He rose again. And He said, listen, He said, you believe in Me? He said, I'll lift you out of the miry clay and set your feet on the solid rock. And He said, I'll bring you to where I am. Where is heaven, guys? Where is heaven, boys? Up. Amen. Where are we down? If heaven is up, where are we? We're down. And we can go further down. Amen. But with Jesus, where are we going to go? Are y'all with me this morning? I guess there's no fallen creatures here. Amen. I guess that nobody here has ever been down and someone reached a hand down to extend to you. I mean, maybe this is just kind of boring or something, but I'm glad for the fact that, listen, when God sees us down, He lifts us up. I don't deserve to be up here, and you don't deserve to go to heaven, nor do any of us deserve to do anything, but thank God by His grace and His mercy, He lifts us when we're fallen. Amen. I mean, you've given up on yourself before, but God never gave up on you. You felt like that your friends and the churches and family members and folks have all been giving up on you, and maybe some of them have, but God never gives up on you. I'm going to tell you, it's hard sometimes not to give up on people. Sometimes we don't have the mercy of God, and we get frustrated, and we just say, man, I'm done with that. I'm tired of that person. They just keep falling, and they just keep stumbling, and they just keep fiddling around. They won't get up and get anything done, and you think, man, I'm just wasting my time on them. But I'm glad that God didn't think that way. Amen. I'm glad that He's merciful. The Bible says He's made everything beautiful in His time. Amen. You see, God's gracious and God's merciful. You may be here and say, preacher, I've never really fallen. Listen, hey, maybe you're comfortable being down. I never was, amen. If you're truly saved, if you're saved, you're not comfortable rolling around in the muck and the mire. If you're saved, you're not happy being down. If you're saved, listen, you don't have to have me tell you how bad it is to be down. You know better than I do how bad it is to be down. You want God and His grace and His mercy to lift you up and set you right and get you going again. Amen. I mean, you want to be right. You want to do right. You want to get in the house of God. You want to be in fellowship with God. You want God. Listen, hey, if you've ever heard from God when you read this book right here, and if you've ever been down and this book became a closed book to you because your sin and something separated you from God and you couldn't read and you couldn't study and you couldn't serve like you felt like you should, brother, listen, you want God to restore you back to where this book is open and you can fellowship with Him and walk with Him and talk with Him and have to know that He's yours and you're His. Amen. I don't know about you, but listen, there's some days that I don't feel as spiritual as I ought to, and I never am, but some days I feel worse than I do. Maybe you never feel that way. But there's some days that for no good reason I feel like a pipsqueak. And I'm glad that God didn't give up on me. He doesn't feel any less love for me then than those days whenever I feel like I'm roaring ready to go. Amen? Brother, listen, He's a merciful God. God, be merciful. The greatest prayer in the Bible was prayed by a man. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If there's anything I pray for this country of ours, I pray for God's mercy. Do you understand this? And I just want to say real quick, do you understand that America should already be underwater? I mean, in the late 50s and late 60s, America turned its back on God, and America went away from God, and we started aborting babies, and well, listen, this sodomite crowd that we've seen come full circle today, that stuff all began to come out of the closet in the 50s and the 60s, and the free love movement, all that stuff, and we begin to openly shake our finger at God, and well, listen, God's been merciful to America now for over 50 years, almost over 60 years, God has been merciful to this nation. It's not because the Democrats and the Republicans or anybody else. It's only the mercy of God that we're still a free nation today. That's why I walk out in the morning and I thank God for the freedom that we have, because it's all because of God's mercy that we're still a free country. Our political system is sunk. Our capitalism is corrupt. Our nation is going away from God. But it's still God's mercy to let us get out of bed one more day and get in our car and drive to the house of God and worship Him. Amen. We owe Him everything. It's God's mercy that gives us the freedom that we have. Say, preacher, why do you shout about it? I know, because nobody else will. So I'm going to shout about it. Amen. I'm thankful for His mercy. If you ever begin to think about it and consider how wonderful it is, I think of the story just real quick, boys and girls, where there was a missionary in this foreign country and he couldn't speak the language of the people. Hardly anyone even knew the language of the people, but he went there and he saw these people and he wanted them to be saved. And he began to pray and said, God, help me to communicate to them so that they can know that you love them so that they can be saved. And he was there one day, and the people were gathered around. He was trying, and they were looking at him, and they were falling asleep. I just thought I'd throw that in there. And the people were trying to listen, and they couldn't follow along because he was speaking a foreign language. Well, I'm speaking Bible, that's foreign, I understand. And he said, Lord, he said, help me. And he said, about that time, he looked on a tree, and there was a caterpillar, a great big old caterpillar crawling down a tree. You girls like caterpillars? You ever eat them? You put a little bit of chocolate syrup on them. I like to have one right now. If I find one, I'll share it with you. All right? Well, he reached up there, and that caterpillar was climbing down there, and he reached up there, and he broke the stick off where it was on, and he held the stick in his hand. The people were all gathered around a fire. He took some sticks and he moved the fire out to the edges, out to the side. He had in the middle of this ring, there was an open space, and he pushed it far as he could, and he made a ring around this area right here, and he took that stick that he had that caterpillar on, and he put that caterpillar down inside of that, right inside that ring of fire. That caterpillar crawled this end of the stick, and the heat would hit him, and he'd hurriedly call back to the other end, and he was keep going back and forth, and the fire was just pushing in, and the heat would soon kill that caterpillar. That missionary walked over, and the people's eyes were real big, and he walked over, and he reached down right into the fire, and he reached down, and he picked that thing up, that caterpillar. He took it over safely, and he put it up in a tree. That caterpillar crawled away safe and sound. By the way, that's what the Bible, I'm going to preach on this someday. What the Bible says about the prodigal son, that he was safe and sound. You ought to study that out, amen? Don't do it before I preach on it. But listen, and he put him in that tree, and he set him free. And he told those people the best way he could. He said, that is what Jesus did for me and you. For the first time, the people sat up, and they opened their eyes, and they began to listen. And they tried harder to understand as he began to try to communicate to them. And that village was eventually saved. Why? Because he showed them God's mercy. He illustrated to them God's mercy. He said, preacher, why in the world do people fall? I reckon it's because we got a sin-cursed nature. But also God wants us as Christians to see how wonderful His mercy is. You see, God cares for His children. God loves His children. I was riding up here today, and I put Curtis in a bad situation. I set him, little Curtis, I set him in the van beside a young man that I have to watch a lot.
And this young man probably has some difficulties at home and some and maybe some struggles, and I have to watch him because he can be a little bit mean. And everything was going good, and all of a sudden I heard Curtis cry, and Curtis never cries, and that little boy doesn't know that Curtis never cries. And I didn't see what had happened to make Curtis cry, but I knew something happened. I tell you what, I turned that mirror back down where I could see. I was watching anyway, but I missed it. Because that little fellow was sneaking, and the devil's sneaking. But I turned that mirror back down. See, I take my eyes off for a minute. He was watching that mirror to see if I was watching. I'm going to tell you what, God's always watching us. And the devil can't do anything in our lives what God didn't allow it to happen. But God allows it to happen so he can show us his mercy. But I'll tell you what, when I heard my little boy crying, his heart for me dried. And he was okay. He didn't die or anything. I mean, it won't be the first time something wrong happens. But I tell you what, there was something in me. I wanted to strangle somebody. Somebody hurt my baby. In all of this equation of falling, I want to introduce to you the answer, the difference. See, I got other verses on falling here, but I want to introduce to you the difference in the falling. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Isaiah 2:5 says, O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. In Acts chapter 26, verse 14, there's a story there given about one of the greatest converts ever to Christianity, a man named Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul. But his name was Saul, and he was fallen in sin. He was as low as a man could be in sin. He was lost. He was on his way to hell. He was murdering Christians in the name of God and thinking that he was doing God a favor. He was a lost man. He was bound by religion. He was as low down as a person could be. The Bible says, and when we were all fallen to the earth. I like that phrase, amen? When we were all fallen to the earth, the apostle says, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Then verse 15 says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Boy, it's something to think about that when somebody hurts me, they're really hurting Jesus. Amen? Right. Now listen, verse 15 says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Verse 16, he said, but rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among me, them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Friend, listen, may the whole Gentile race, which is what we are, which was what we were, the whole Gentile race was fallen in sin, and there was no hope of a Savior, but God took Saul and caused him to fall on the earth and told him to stand up, and he said, go preach to that fallen people, and thank God that the Gentile people begin to hear the gospel preached to them. And thank God the Gentile people are still hearing the gospel preached to them. And right now the Jewish people are fallen. But thank God someday God's going to lift them up. Amen. Because that's the kind of God we serve. He's a God of grace and mercy. He's a God that lifts up the fallen. Amen. You see, we get in our churches and we hear somebody. I always think of Larry Hensley when I get along this line. And we think of Larry's testimony, how when he was 8 years old, he was introduced to drugs and alcohol, and his whole entire life was spent that way, and he lived on the streets of Columbus there. And lest you think that Larry made that up, one day I stumbled across, I was looking to see about his son, and I stumbled across some information on Larry, and not once, not twice, not three times, but every year of his life, for many years, Larry is profiled, and he got in drugs and alcohol and Larry was in a mess. Boy, he was in a mess. And one day, for no reason at all except for God, he got on the road and began to walk toward Charleston. He said on the way to Charleston, he said he was in a little town in Ohio. A policeman picked him up and paid for him to have a motel room. And he slept that night and got somewhat sober. And then he kept walking toward Charleston. He came to the rescue mission. And one day I was preaching over there. But the Mullins was the director at the time. And I went in. This little old fellow looked at me. And he couldn't talk real good. And I wasn't unkind to him. But I wasn't as kind because I had seen so much. And it's easy for us to become hardened toward things. And there he was. And I didn't think much. But God drew Larry to me. And Larry started coming to church. At that time, we had about 14 guys from the rescue mission in the little storefront building. I thank God for y'all that are smart enough to know that God has grace on the fallen. And they'd come over there, and a lot of those guys went away. But Larry kept coming. And Larry would testify and tell about all that he had done. And we would think, and folks would think, boy, what a testimony. But that's the testimony of every one of us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into our own way. Listen to me just for a minute this morning and I'm done. The Lord is the difference. I'm weak and you're weak. We have a sin-cursed nature. We're born in vanity. But here's the difference. The Lord is merciful. And His mercy lifts the fallen. And here's what I want you to hear. I'm not going to turn to Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, there's a story there about a man named David. One place in David's life, he said, I shall not be moved. Then later on, he said, I shall not be greatly moved. You see, because one day David was moved. He saw a beautiful lady, Bathsheba, bathing from the rooftop, and he sent for her. He sinned and committed a great sin. Then he added sin to sin. He had her husband murdered because her husband would not go along with the plan to cover up his sin. And David said, I will yet praise him more and more. In Psalm 51, David prayed, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Now listen. Not only that, but also in Psalm 51, you can read it. I want you to read it when you get home. He said, then will I teach transgressors thy way. You know what that means? That means David said, Lord, I'm going to keep on serving you. Did you hear that? I'm going to keep on serving you. You know that all that God has to do His work is fallen creatures that have been lifted by His mercy. You hear that? You know why folks don't want to serve God today? Because they don't realize what a wonderful blessing it is to have been lifted by God's grace and mercy. You see, if we'll get it down, if we'll understand what we deserve is to go to hell and burn forever. But God, His grace and His mercy lifted us. Then we have no problem at all with tithes and offerings. We have no problem at all with faithfulness to church. Matter of fact, if you get this down, you'll want to be in the house of God. And hear about, sing about the God who lifted you. Amen. I mean, you'll want to read the Word of God if you get this down.
Amen.
You'll want to walk with Him. And someday, I mean, every day, but someday, you'll be looking. And He's going to say, come. Up hither. Amen.
Amen.
Everything about the Christian life is up, up, up.
Amen.
The upward way. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. New heights I'm gaining every day. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. But down here in this flesh, there's going to be times where we stumble. So why in the world would God ever let me stumble? Why would God ever let me fall so that He can lift you up? And use you in a greater way than He ever would before. You hear me, church? We're fallen creatures, but God saved us. And if you'll read that Psalm 51, you'll see that He saved us so that we could praise Him. He lifts us so that we can praise Him. He saves us and He lifts us up as we fall so that we can serve Him. You know, if I can just for a minute. I can't believe you'd do that. Just lay down there, just fall down like that. You know, if I'm really going, I might have to really get down here and just understand what.
Well, what is it that you like about being down here so much? Nothing? Well, so you're really not happy? I thought you was enjoying it down here. I thought you were happy being down here. I was getting ready to jump on you for having a good time being down here. You'd like to get up? Let's get up. I don't like it down here, do you? Let's go.
Boy, doesn't it feel better?
Man, I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Yeah.
I was blind. Now I see. Thank you, brother.
Don't let the devil tell you that you're not fit to serve God because of a fall or because you're fallen, because you're weak.
Amen.
Some of us have failed miserably time after time after time after time. Like that young man I was telling you about, I keep trying, but I keep on failing. Just turn that around. You keep failing, but keep on trying. And if you'll fail and try, guess how that's going to end up? With God, it's going to end up. Amen? So much more I want to say, but I'm not going to say anything else. I just want to say to you as Christians, God saved you. And God lifted you. So that you could serve God. Listen to me, just remember, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved. Understand this, that you were born with a sin nature. You're lost. You cannot save yourself. You cannot get to heaven without Jesus Christ. So what did God do? He became a man. He left heaven. He died on the cross for your sins. So that he could lift you and bring you to heaven someday. If you're sitting here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're lost, you're on the way to hell. And if you die in that condition, you're going to spend eternity in hell. And there'll be no mercy there, no grace extended there. You're lost forever. But I want you to know that God loves you and he'll save you if you'll ask him to. If you're saved, the devil will remind you of how worthless you are and all that stuff. And you're not serving God. It's not God's fault. You need to get busy serving God and rejoicing in him and praising him. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you stand with me this morning? Let's go all across the room and stand up. First of all, if you're here this morning not saved, I want you to get saved today.